This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What is this?
It's Nick Cannon. And Ellie, know
with
that.
R. Kelly.
Nick, somebody texted the show and said, here comes an hour of Nick Cannon. And when I told Nick that, he goes, oh, that's what I'm coming out of the break with. And so what does he do? He goes and finds the worst Nick Cannon song on the planet. Oh,
hey,
God,
what's the
that's
deal with
horrible.
Nick Cannon wearing a turban now?
What?
He's been wearing it a lot. He wears it like all
a
the time.
A turban?
Yeah.
Did he convert maybe?
I don't know.
Maybe he converted.
Like, he wears it like during his TV appearances and things.
I'm not sure. By the way, Sean Sweeney?
Sean Sweeney, yep.
Said it's that the Sleep Talk app is on iPhone, so you can go out there and get it on that.
I love Chase Tanner's tweet for Tweet of the Week because he said, Joel, you think you had a bad hour? What if Raheel had to find music associated with his name? I love that.
That is really good.
That is actually very good, yes.
That is really good. A couple of things. So somebody said, thank goodness that hour is over. Billy Joel sucks. That's from Matt and Katie. And all texting, no tweeting, said, Joel, Billy has some upbeat songs. Why are you playing the slow ones?
Right. That's true. That's what I was going to ask. I forgot to ask you that.
And My Life. Those are good examples.
And I played Big Shot, which someone else said, with the first two right off the bat. So basically, kiss my ass.
I love how angry. This makes my day that I can get him this worked up. And the texters can get him this worked up. I like it. It makes me feel good.
Hey,
okay.
Nick.
What? He's doing
kiss my glass?
Yeah, he's smacking the lips. Yo, Adrian. Barry, what's the theme today? Make me kill myself Wednesday? No, yo, Adrian, we had to choose songs with our name.
That was the first hour.
That's right. That's right.
Yep. That was your hour.
What's that?
That was your hour, Richard. I can't say it, so I'm just saying that was just the first hour. Make me kill myself. People don't know music.
I have a beef. I have a beef with this article from the Win, For the Win. So they said the five keys for the Astros to win the World Series. All right. Now, I think some of this makes sense. I think some of this is no-brainer stuff, but I feel like they had a quota to fill for words, and they literally just started typing words.
Usually if it's like five things or five.
So number one is settle on the right rotation. Valid point. You're right for the win. They should settle on the right rotation. And who's going to follow Verlander and Keuchel? Great point. Number one, yay, I get it. Number two, secure the middle inning. So they're talking about middle relief, whether they're using Musgrove or Divinsky, or who's going to fill that role, with it be, you know, Peacock or McHugh. And great point for the win. I agree with number two. Number three, continue having their offense. First of all, the wording on that couldn't be worse, I think. Continue having their offense. But I get your point, yes. Continue swinging the hot bats that they've been swinging as of late. So I'll give you a pass. That's great. Number four is where I take issue, but not with the writer, but with the Astros. Number four is control the running game. Not going to happen. This team has proven, and I've been mentioning this since May, that this is going to be a problem in the playoffs, is their inability to throw out runners. That's not going to happen. So you can kiss that goodbye. They're not going to suddenly get better.
They don't throw out runners,
no.
Period.
It's not going to change. And I think I saw 12% is what they're getting. That's not great. Now, number five is where it becomes just ridiculous. Number five says, avoid the awful stretch. And what they meant by that is, once you get in the playoffs, you can't go on a losing streak. I mean, if we could curse, I would probably, no bleep. Like, really? You can't go on a losing streak in the playoffs? So you need to avoid an awful stretch? Dude, that's every team in the playoffs. So you should have just stopped at four. It's like they were just like, oh, damn, I still got, this is supposed to be 1,000 words and I'm only at 800. What else could I do? Oh, I know. Don't go on a long losing streak in the playoffs. Thank you for the insight, staff writer.
I think track record shows any long losing streak in the playoffs, you're eliminated.
I believe that's what it is. So shout out to Ted Berg for just mailing it in on number five. Appreciate that, buddy.
Although Heavy.com did like five things you need to know about the scandal, the Louisville scandal. That was super informative.
Was it?
Yeah, like you list, it lists everything, but it goes in depth instead of putting just two, three sentences after each point. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
So some of them are good. I think Heavy.com does a decent job of it, but yeah.
Oh, look, from some article of it is pretty to obvious. Article, yeah, there are some good ones, but there's also some guys
Of them are garbage, like what Barry's mentioning.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, I mean, look, bottom line is we pretty much, everybody knows what this team can and can't do in order to be successful, and it's as simple as that. I mean, if their hitting is decent, if their pitching steps up, you know, and again, matchups are going to be key, but look, the best part about all this is they're still only a game out for best record, and they're definitely in the playoffs, and you're going to have the home field advantage in the first round. Because they wrapped that up last night. Boston can't catch.
Yeah, last night was a couple of firsts, right? I mean, clinching home field advantage for the division, eliminating the Rangers. Yep. So, yeah, all good things that it's good. It's good to see, you know what I mean? It's good to see them get those things out of the way. I don't think they're worried about – well, they shouldn't be worried about catching Cleveland, but they are. I mean, obviously, they're focusing on that. Mm-hmm. And I liked Hinch's mentality going into all this. We're going to win as many games as we can until we're out of it. So if they're four out with three to go,
right.
Then he doesn't care. But right now, one out, I appreciate that no one's mailing it in. I really do. We got this question from our daily. He's now dubbing himself your friendly neighborhood question asker because we have your friendly neighborhood beer salesman. So he's got your friendly neighborhood question asker, and this was his question for us. He's got a couple. This was the best of them. And again, I've asked him to bring his A game. He tried to step up. This isn't bad, but he said, what's the funniest story you have involving a nipple? Now, I don't know if it's funny, but every time I think about this, and I actually tell this on stage because it's true, one of the weirdest things was I dated a girl with hairy nipples.
What?
Yeah.
No upkeep?
No, and that one was weird because I've always said, and I say this, like I'm not judging you, all right? That's how Jesus made you. That's fine. That's you. That's I'm not here to pass judgment. But you should like at least warn us before we start making out.
What, that she has hairy nipples?
Because you don't want to be like, yeah, it's go. Ah, what the?
You can't.
Like, is there a problem? Yeah, I feel like I'm making out with my uncle right now. I don't, like, no, I need to know. If you be like, hey, listen, before we go any further, there's some things you need to know. I won't do this and I won't do that. I have hair on my nipples. Okay, now I can make the decision. All right, based on all that information, do I want to continue? Or do I want to be like, oh, hold on, I got a phone call. I got to go. You know what I mean? Like, I can back out gracefully.
I want to say, though, I'd be completely turned off if she gave me that warning, though. I'd be like, all right, it's over.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, how do you think you'd feel if you saw them for the first time?
What do you want to do? Like, if she does warn you, what are you going to do? Just maneuver around it?
Yes. I'd be like, no, no worries. Hey, real quick, I'm going to run to the restroom, and I'll be back. And then when you come back, oh, hey, my phone rang, and I got a call. I got to go.
I thought you were going out the bathroom.
I'll catch you on the flip side, Chewbacca. I got to go. Like, you know, at least you'd have a way out. So, yeah, that one was the weird one for me. But it, you know.
So what is it? What is it, the nipple?
Put it this way. It didn't stop me, okay? Like, it didn't stop me, but it was weird.
You got one, Joel?
Take that to another level. I know of a female that had a third nipple.
What?
Yep.
You're lying.
Talk about one that you didn't want to discover. Or talk about one that would have made everything weird. Hair is one thing. An extra one?
So where was it located?
I believe smack dab in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was in the cleavage?
I believe so,
are we sure it wasn't a mole? Because I have a mole that you might think was a third nipple, but it's just a mole.
Off air, I can explain to you more details because I didn't.
Did it have an areola?
I don't know from personal experience. I just know from several sources, and I can just tell you that it was there.
Was it more sensitive than the other two?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have to like, is it like, which one is the you know what I mean?
Like the shell game? Multitask.
Yeah, is it like the shell game where you're like, damn, I only got.
You know, if you can't make your mind between left and right, just take the one in the middle.
Is it like, you only got two hands you got to pick? I don't understand that.
Or you cover two of them and then, you know,
or you got two hands covered with each of your hands and then you still got one for.
Okay.
Her baby's going to be like, Mom,
we're trying to figure this out.
I don't know what to do here, Mom. This one never works. These other ones work. This one doesn't work, Mom. What the hell's going on?
I just hope
maybe you should replace the CO2 in the gun. I don't know what's going on here. This fountain never works.
It could make picking a bra out a little bit challenging.
What was the Total Recall? Wasn't that the chick with the three breasts in Total Recall when she walks by the X-ray machine and it shows she has three breasts?
I don't recall.
I did not know that.
I think that's what this is. I think you actually met the chick from Total Recall. She's from the future.
It is quite possible.
Now, did you have relations with this woman?
I said I did not.
Okay.
So that's why I can't verify from personal experience. But I
so
have
she
been,
had a nipple.
I have been told but from several sources.
Well, we'll revisit the story tomorrow like 1 o'clock. It's 3:15 right now. So we'll ask if you had sexual relations tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Because you know Lisa's not listening.
It doesn't matter if Lisa's listening or not. I can, because this is a good thing in her mind. No, I did not.
Okay.
So there you go. And now I'm not giving you any more personal details.
What was the shell game where they would put like a peanut under the shells and you'd have to guess which one?
The guys on the street corners do it. They did it at Price is Right or something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of like you're playing the nipple game. You're playing the nipple game.
So there you go.
Which two do you go for? No.
All right. So... we'll continue to roll on with the show. And Astros have just hit a grand slam home
You're
run
kidding
by
George
me. Springer.
No, they didn't. It's they
it's
did.
Now 9-2, and again the throttling of the Rangers because they needed this series and it was big.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
We'll be back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Usual Suspects, back in the final hour of the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ Jung, and the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5. Astros continue to keep, as Patrick said keep the merry-go-round going on the Rangers. After the grand slam by Springer, a two-run bomb by Correa, it's now double digits. It's 11-2, and it can't be enough for me. If they beat them 20-2, I hope it's 25. I hope they steal on them, up 10 runs. I don't care because the Rangers deserve every bit of this.
Do you think it's somebody sitting behind home plate yelling out the location of the pitches?
You read my mind, because that's where I was going next. Because you know how earlier in the season, how the Yankees squealed on the Red Sox for the Apple Watch on a trainer stealing signs? Well, last night at Yankee Stadium, of all places, against the Yankees, was it a Rays fan? I believe they were playing the Rays. Was yelling out pitch locations to the hitter. Home plate umpire got wind of it, didn't like it, and the fan was ejected. Is that too much?
I mean,
you paid for a ticket.
I think you can yell whatever you want.
I think you can say whatever you want to.
They said, it says Sanchez and Rays catcher Wilson Ramos said the fan had been yelling in Spanish, outside, outside. Ramos said the spectator shouts were accurate. That was not professional. If you come to the game, you're asked to enjoy the game. Everybody's supposed to see the ball and just react with the pitches. So to me, it's like cheating. First of all, there's no professional fan. So calling him unprofessional or saying that was not professional is it doesn't make any sense. He's a fan. And if he wants to yell outside, that's not cheating. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think that's cheating. Cheating is scuffing the ball. Stealing signals is not cheating to me either. So, you know what I mean? Cheating to me is altering, corking your bat, scuffing the ball. But if you can steal signs and relay them to someone, I don't think that that's cheating. Telling someone while a 96-mile-an-hour pitch is on the way to the plate outside, really how much of an advantage are you giving them? Because the sound has to travel faster than the ball. Then you have to decide to swing and react to it. I don't know.
Think about how many catchers don't give up the location of where the pitch is going to be until the pitcher's in his windup. So essentially, there's a lot of catchers that line up on the inside half. And then right as the pitcher is getting ready to get or starts his windup, he'll sneak over to the outside half. So there's ways to disguise it a little bit more, too. But a fan can yell whatever the hell he wants. They've proven that. So I don't think that he should have been ejected. I really don't.
I don't either. And it looks like Girardi and everybody involved, like both managers, they were like, yeah, he should have been thrown out. That was great. I don't know. The Tampa Bay manager, Kevin Cash, yeah, the Yankees handled it really well and got him out of there. Come on, man. That seems a bit. Maybe go over there and say, hey, you can't do that anymore. Stop. You know what I mean? Like, don't yell out anymore. But maybe I'm just not taking it serious enough.
No, I'm with you because of the fact that, you know, look, you're right. A warning could be warranted if you really want to get technical about it. But it's not like he was yelling, you know, cuss words or racial slurs or anything that should warrant an immediate ejection. You just say, hey, man, look, knock it off. You're going to go. That's it. But right off the top, call, you know, I saw the video where the umpire goes and gets security, brings them down. He talks to the other umpires about it. Next thing you know, the guy's being escorted from his seat. I think that's BS.
So I want to go back real quick because I don't think we ever talked about it. Would you, if you were a, I mean, we talked about it in the sense that he may have trouble getting a job, Rick Pitino. Would you hire him?
I think in what capacity? As a head coach?
Yeah.
On the college or pro level?
Either. Would you hire him to coach again if you ran a program or owned a team? Do you believe in second chances or, in his case, third chances or fourth chances? Would you hire him again in some capacity outside of broadcasting? Because I think that's part of it. Can he get a job? I don't know. Would you hire him? Do you think that he could actually help your program win? Because to me, it's as bad in some ways, like the fact that it's just you're paying high school kids and all that. But let's be real. What Art Briles did and what he did is two different things. He put money in the pockets of high school kids. That's not the same thing as what Art Briles did. Would you hire him in some form or capacity?
I'm telling you right now, I was thinking about it on the way here from lunch. His son's going to hire him as a consultant, I think, at the University of Minnesota.
I think
because he's had his son on his staff for a long time. I think that from that standpoint, he will have a job. I think someone will hire him because he still knows the game of basketball. He's been involved in it his whole life. But I think if you have a program, especially it's a new program or an up-and-coming program or a program you're trying to put on the map, for as much as you think you might get out of putting Rick Pitino as your front man until you get recruits and really start getting the program rolling, I think you do more damage than you do add positives to your program. I think from a professional level, he's got a chance, but I think the game has kind of passed him by in that regard. He was never a great pro coach, Nick Celtics. I think that the big thing with Rick Pitino now is the fact that he's up there in age a little bit too. I think that it's a different style of play. So as much as the pro game would ignore the recruiting stuff because there is no recruiting wars except for free agency and anything goes in that case, I just don't think there's a spot for him in pro ball. I don't think it's worth the risk in college ball. I think it's broadcasting, or like I said, I think his son hires him at the University of Minnesota in some capacity as a consultant or otherwise.
That's probably a good call. That's probably makes the most sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also wanted to get your opinion, given the fact that you're, you know, I don't know, I've heard rumors that you're a Packers fan. I don't know that to be true, but what are your thoughts on, you know, Aaron Rodgers coming out? He talked about them locking arms and asking the fans to do the same. And how's that going to go over in Green Bay?
It's interesting because, like I told you, I got tweets from people that were, including Patrick and other people, that were showing Packer fans burning like great memorabilia from back in the Nitschke and Bart Starr days all the way up to current stuff because of this whole thing, because three Packers knelt during the anthem. You know, I appreciate what Aaron Rodgers is trying to do. I think he's trying to just make a positive out of this to show unity, that everybody's on the same page, that it isn't going to be divisive. And there's a way to do this where we're all together to try and shoot for the right purposes, for the right reasons. So I like it. I'm going to be interested to see how it plays out tomorrow night with the Packers hosting the Bears. But we'll see, because again, just like you said, with text messages on this show or how it goes whenever anybody's in the public eye, especially with something as big of an issue as this, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people poo-pooing on it. What are your thoughts on it?
I think it's good. I think if you can involve, because this is the thing, right? This is what I've been wanting to see, is less bickering, and more about getting the awareness out and spreading the attention on the right thing, which would be the issue. And I think the more you can involve the fans and get them into the discussion and make this more, because look how much it's grown. I mean, it went from Colin Kaepernick to a few players to, what is the number we saw the other day? Over 250 NFL players. And now it's spreading into baseball. I've seen dialogue about hockey. And again, it's more about taking a knee, protesting, not processing, than it is about the issue. But I guess I've come to kind of realize in a way that's the only way we're going to ever get it back around to the issue is if enough people are talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, you and I said all along, it's not about the act, it's about the issues. That's the most important thing.
Get to it, man. I would love to see somebody just start coming through. You know what I mean? With, like I said, education or whatever it is, let's have those discussions. So
I agree.
All right, guys, I want to tell you about my new favorite place to eat. We went there today, Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. You're going to love this place. We were out there. Serafin came by from Marlin Roofing, and he said he enjoyed the wings. Nick had the wings. I went healthy for a change there. They do have healthy food. It's Southern comfort food. It's Indian food. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, but they also have healthy food if you need to watch what you eat. I had the grilled chicken with some rice and green beans. Green beans were amazing. I don't know how they cooked them, what they cooked them in. Delicious stuff, though. You need to get out there. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where you can find it. And I'll tell you, when I first went there, I was kind of skeptical. I'd had Indian food one time. I wasn't a big fan of it. But Haas introduced me to, like, butter chicken the way it should be made. In fact, some of the best butter chicken you're going to find in the city of Houston is right there at Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. You need to get out there and give it a shot. They have a ton of options to choose from. Like, quesadilla is made with naan bread, a Himalayan heat burger. Like I said, Nick had the wings. They're off the chain good. Sliders. If you don't feel like chicken curry, get the chicken fried steak. That's the beauty of Cowboys and Indians. You have choices. You know what? You're going to go out there for a month and never eat the same thing twice. It's delicious. All authentic Indian food, family recipes. You're going to love it. And the best part, they have a full service bar. So if you just want to go hang out in Midtown, that's a great place to go watch the game. And if you want Cowboys and Indians, but you don't want to stick around or don't even want to get out of the house, DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub all deliver Cowboys and Indians to your home. 1901 Taft in Midtown, or look them up on Facebook, CNI713. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world, guys. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen is the place to be. There's nothing like it. And when you go out there, tell Haas and Imran Barry said hello.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, final half hour of the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jung, and the Blitz. News of the day, as we've already covered, Rick Pitino out at Louisville. Could this be the final straw? We've talked about it in terms of his basketball coaching career. Tiger Woods has came out and said he's optimistic for his future, but golfing is still uncertain. Lindsey Vonn now wants to ski against the men at a 2018 event. We've already seen.
Letter.
Yeah, we've seen Michelle Wee try it. We've seen Annika Sorenstam try it in golf. Now we're going to see it in downhill skiing.
I mean, good luck to her.
Oh. Lauren Pope is disappointed. Johnny Manziel not going to play in the CFL this season, but it is possible next season.
Oh.
Man's got to work. Man's got to eat.
I'm sorry.
Can we just call him John?
Nope.
From now on?
Johnny.
I guess until he matures, you can still call him Johnny.
Johnny boy. Did you see the For the Win QB power rankings? So they did this power rankings thing, and I was looking, all right, the one thing I wanted to see was, well, let's see where old Deshaun Watson falls. So I don't know if I'm surprised or not. Tier one, obviously no surprise, Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers. Tier two, Stafford, Ryan, Prescott, Rivers, and Carr making tier two.
Say it again, Stafford, Rivers.
Ryan, Prescott, and Derek Carr.
Is it too soon for Prescott and or Carr?
I feel like it might be.
I think I'm with you.
Tier three, I think I would move Roethlisberger up to tier two.
I would agree with that as well.
But it's Roethlisberger, Alex Smith, and Trevor Siemian. Yeah, one of these is not like the others. I think you could move Roethlisberger up and move Prescott and Carr down to tier three. Now, this is just this is their weekly rankings.
Okay, and I'd take I'd take Siemian and Smith on if we were talking about more from like body of work.
This is week three.
Okay, if it, that makes it all different in terms of, otherwise, those two guys could probably be way
down
the list. I guess
you're right, yeah. Tier four. Winston, Wilson, Palmer, Cousins, Mariota, Manning, and Goff. Still no Deshaun Watson. Tier five, Wentz, Taylor, Cutler, Dalton, Newton. Cam Newton falls all the way to tier five in their eyes. Joe Flacco, Blake Bortles, Josh McCown, Jacoby Brissett. So we can't even get Deshaun Watson lumped up in with Blake Bortles and Jacoby Brissett.
The fact that Goff is above all those names that you just, or the majority of the names you just read, means the credibility of this entire thing is more like number five on your Astros things in the playoffs.
Tier six, Case Keenum, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kaiser, Mike Lennon, Brian Hoyer.
No.
It's funny. Two former Texans and a current Texan QB in tier six. So there you go. So there's your tiers. Deshaun Watson still getting no love thus far. But that's the week three. So we'll see if it gets better. There is a story on Barstool that just came out about 40 minutes ago that I wanted to run by you. There's a new sex teacher sex scandal. It says grading the newest sex scandal
teacher.
They
do like to do that.
Yeah, and it's from Georgia. For the second time in a month, a former Union County middle school physical education teacher was arrested on allegations she sexually assaulted a student, Shawnetta D. Reese, 40, of Blairsville, accused of sexually assaulting an 18-year-old. Okay. That makes a difference.
I was gonna say 8-year-old, that's a huge difference.
18-year-old high school senior in 2015. They said officials discovered the additional allegations while investigating Reese's August 15th arrest. In that case, she was charged with child molestation and sexual assault. When they said they found evidence that she engaged in sexual conduct with a 15-year-old, that student was entering ninth grade at the time of the allegation. So they've got pictures of her. So first of all, we got to talk 15 versus 18. I think 18, there should be no issue here. They're 18.
Legally.
Whether they're in high school or not.
True.
They can join the military. They can vote. They should be able to have sex with whoever they want, including a teacher. 15, I think, is a different story. I feel like the line has to be driver's license age. And I'm of the camp that, yeah, I have a double standard. A female teacher sleeping with a 16-year-old student doesn't bother me as much. Because when I was 16, that would have been cool. But I think the other way around, it is creepy. And I know that's a double standard, but I don't want a 43-year-old teacher that's a man sleeping with a 16-year-old high school chick. That doesn't seem right to
with
me.
With you.
But I get it. Double standard, not cool, whatever. Okay. Now, and again, because I feel like in the reverse, when it's always the dude teacher, and then it's either like he's taking advantage of her daddy issues or, you know, or it's forced or something like that. When it's a 16-year-old kid, like a dude, chances are he's not being tricked or deceived or forced to do anything. He's like, hell yeah.
He's bragging about it after the fact, too.
And so they have pictures of her on Barstool.
Well, I was going to say, how's she look?
Crazy. She looks like she's crazy. She looks like she'd be like, what do you mean you don't love me anymore? Like, what?
See.
She looks like she would be like, why can't we get married? Because we've known each other for 3 hours. Sarah or whatever her name is, because usually Sarahs are crazy. Shawnetta. Oh, yeah, she's definitely psycho. Shawnetta looks crazy. She's got the crazy eyes, the real big bug eyes. Yeah, she's not all that hot, but I'm telling you, at 16, I wouldn't have kicked her out.
A lot of the ones that they put on there are actually good-looking enough that you have to ask the question, why do you have, is that a thing that you have to go to these young kids? Because looking the way you do, I'm pretty sure if you just hit the local bar or the mall, you'd probably find, or somewhere, you'd probably find someone closer to your age that would be very interested in you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're willing to sleep with an 18-year-old, just find one that's not in high school. Right? Like, I'm sure there are 18-year-olds that don't go to your high school that you could go have sex with if that's your thing.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, yeah, you can go check out Barstool. It's on the front page. They gave her overall C+. Intangibles, she got a B. Moral compass, she got a C-.
They take it that far.
And looks, she got a B. So that's about
right. They gave the googly eyes a B?
I mean, she's all right. She's 40. She's not bad, but she just looks crazy. She looks like if you were 18 and then decided that you didn't want to be with her no more, that she would be like, I'm going to tell him you did mean things to me without asking permission or something like that. You'd be like, whoa, what? She looks crazy.
Okay. Speaking of crazy, we only have one segment left before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. But we will have one more segment to go, so we'll keep you entertained for a couple more minutes here as we wrap up the big show. Don't go anywhere. More of the Usual Suspects in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, you clearly won today.
Who is this?
I played three 311 songs.
It's still, you clearly won today. I mean,
no doubt. I mean, look, I take the L. I'm telling you, sometimes you're the dog, sometimes you're the hydrant. I definitely was the hydrant.
Well,
today.
Sometimes you're not trying to win. I think that was a part of your shtick too, right? Or did you really enjoy the music that you played?
There were some of them that I liked.
It's not a competition.
Did I really sound like Seinfeld when I said?
Is that what I sounded like?
Yeah.
Huh? What's the deal with competition?
Or John Granato.
Oh, that is true. I don't want to do that.
You know, he was the first performer at Smart Financial over there in Sugarland, and I wasn't incredibly mad that I missed it.
Seinfeld?
Yeah.
He opened it.
Genius. He was the very first
performer. Yeah, very first ever. Yeah, I think he did 2 days.
In that particular venue. Yeah.
Well, you might have missed something. All right, couple of things. First of all, somebody's texting. A major dinger from George Springer. All right, Barry, I'm done. Sorry. Yeah. We get it. The several people texted Springer Dinger as soon as he hit it. So a couple things that kind of intertwine here. All texting, no tweeting said, remember, call it bringing awareness to racial and social injustice, and we have to take away the word protest or take that out of the equation, which I think is a valid point. But then somebody asked, what do we think of the SI cover with no Kaepernick? And I don't know if you've seen it, but the SI cover, it says a nation divided, sports united. And it's, you know, to talk about the protests that are going on in the NFL and other sports. And it's got on the cover right up front, it's got Roger Goodell locking arms with front and center is Steph Curry. And on Curry's right, your left looking at the cover is LeBron James. So front row, you've got LeBron James, Steph Curry, Roger Goodell. And then they've got a middle row and a back row, and it includes Aaron Rodgers on the cover. What's his name? The owner, Shad Khan. Is on the cover
of the Jaguars.
Yeah. Strangely missing, though, no Colin Kaepernick on the cover. So I found this article where I was looking for the cover itself, but an article pointed out a few things, and I was going to get your thoughts on what was there anything that stood out? It says, where's Colin Kaepernick? Why is Goodell on the cover to begin with? I kind of agree with that, too. Shad Khan linked arms with his players, but that's good enough to make the cover? I think so. You can't really, I mean, you're going to start nitpicking now. You know what I mean? Like people that were nitpicking with the Cowboys. Jerry Jones. Yeah, listen, he's trying. This is what I care about. People are trying to do the right thing. You're going to start dogging on them because they don't do what you think is the right thing. I think is being petty and picky. Why is Steph Curry front and center? And the best point about this, which I totally forgot about, but they said women are grossly underrepresented on the cover. When Kaepernick first took a knee, the most prominent athlete to follow close behind was
Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah. And everyone seems to have forgotten about that. So pretty interesting. And yeah, I think it's a pretty gross oversight to
You know what they're gonna say?
To
he's
not
on a
Kaepernick.
Team currently, and we use current athletes. Well, it's not fair because this whole thing wouldn't
put
be a
former
thing without
athletes.
Him.
Yeah, you put an owner. He's not an athlete. You can put former athletes and the whole reason that this is a discussion to begin with is because of Colin Kaepernick. So I think it's kind of dumb that you wouldn't include him, but maybe they did that on purpose. You know, not these magazines and everything else, they need readers. and they need people to talk about the issue, not the issue of, you know, injustice and social injustice. They need people to talk about issue number 475, which talks about protests in sports. They need people to buy that issue. So what better way to get people to discuss it like we're doing right now on a radio in a big city? But to exclude Colin Kaepernick, not ever mention it, and let everyone else go, hey, what the hell is going on here?
It's Rob Dibble saying Jose Del Tuve is on steroids. It's Skip Bayless. You should just call it Skip Bayless Marketing.
You got us, Sports Illustrated. You got us again.
Yeah, because that's exactly what I think of the cover. Skip Bayless does it on a daily basis, whether he tweets it or says it on the air, just to get reactions, because reaction creates conversation, because the conversation goes across the board. He's getting exposure out of it, and he capitalizes on it.
Yep.
That's exactly what's going on.
Them leaving him off, to me, was nothing more than just that. Just getting a dialogue going. How could you leave him off of that? Well, they got their wish. I mean, they got what they wanted. People are asking about it and wanting opinions on it. So good for them. Smart marketing. You know, it reminds me of those headlines. You won't believe what they said next, or you won't believe what happened here. And then you always click the link and it sucks. You're like, yeah, I totally believe that. That's not that big of a deal. What are you talking about? Or you'll see like so-and-so destroys so-and-so with five words. And it's like, that's your definition of destroyed? Like, it's always just hype. It's all that stuff. I try not to click on that crap anymore.
Well, at least you didn't mention it on the air. So
I sound old now. Hey, get off my internet lawn.
And by the way, on the Louisville thing, Dick Vitale came out, who we know is outspoken, but just went nuts. And, you know, I think we've been clamoring for this kind of thing. And like I said to you yesterday, I don't think this even scratches the surface to where it's going to get in terms of blowing up a lot of corruption over the sport of basketball. But Vitale said the whole thing's a joke. The term student athlete is a joke. We talk one and done. It's about time we do something about all this. We need a star, someone in charge, a commander, a guy that can take charge representing college basketball when the rumors come down to do something about it. I'm upset, frustrated, disgusted to hear all of what I'm hearing now. It's a shame. It's sleazy. It's no good. It's ugly. It breaks my heart. That, in a nutshell, is, again, why Rick Pitino won't coach, at least college level ever again. But I think they're missing it. Because, yeah, college has something to do with this. But like I told you yesterday, AAU is the biggest, most corrupt organization in the United States when it comes to basketball.
Now, I hear you read that, though, and all I can think is it sounds like Dick Vitale just nominated himself to be that guy. That seems like something that he would do. And be like, you know what we need, baby? We need someone to take control. I'll do it, baby. Like, no, I don't want Dick Vitale being the overseer.
It can't be him. It's got to be someone that can be, you know, very stern, very aggressive, you know, handle the investigations the right way because everybody's looking for a loophole. But look, something has got to change because when you're starting to recruit 8 and 9 year olds, when you're giving families of you know, less than high school kids hundreds of thousands of dollars under the table.
Nuts.
It's just way out of hand.
Yep. It sure is. I don't know. Good show today, man. That was fun. That was good times. Thanks for
good lunch too.
Yeah, thanks for having lunch with me, fellas. Yep, thanks for coming out there and enjoying.
Once again, a thanks to Cowboys and Indians and our man Haas. Fantastic lunch, as always. A Wayback Wednesday in the books. I'll take the L, like I said.
You'll definitely take it. Shout out to Seraphim for coming out and enjoying some Cowboys and Indians with us.
Yep, and we're back again tomorrow. Tomorrow, we'll have your fantasy football questions. Bloom. Have them ready to go for Sigmund Bloom at 2:30. So text us, tweet us, call us, but get them in ahead of time if you can so that we can get all of them that we can possibly get to in one segment. We'll have that. And we'll have plenty to talk about as we see the Astros are going to win, see what the Indians do tonight, and see where we sit. Getting ready for the playoffs in baseball.
Astros up 12-2. They need to go for the two-point conversion right here.
For sure, just to make sure that, you know,
right.
It's a two-score game. That's right. All right, so we'll talk to you all tomorrow. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel, Usual Suspects, right here on ESPN 97.5. You showed me the way. I felt it then. You gave me
love I can't describe. Yeah, boy. Listening to ESPN 97.5.